Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it's somebody's birthday. Whose birthday is it? I'll tell you. It's Lucy, our combined mother, the mother of us all. Lucy is only 40 years old, and she looks pretty good for 40. The man who discovered her, Donald Johansson, is here with us tonight. And we're going to celebrate her birthday. She's 3,040,000 years old, I think. About that? There he is.
Terrific. Wow, what a crowd.
Yeah.
She
looks good for 40.
Who knew people were interested in old women like this?
Yeah.
Terrific.
What was it? I mean, now it's like everybody's history, known Lucy, and she's kind of a common, a known thing now.
Yes, she is.
But what was that like when you first saw those fragments and thought maybe they all came from one individual? What was the feeling like?
Well, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool.
Yeah.
This is something I thought about since I was about 13 years old.
Yeah.
I read a book by Thomas Henry Huxley, who was a good friend of Chuck Darwin.
Uh-huh.
You know, yesterday was Charles Darwin's birthday.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Born in 1809. Yesterday we celebrated his birthday.
Yeah.
But I read a book called Man's Place in Nature.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, you know, PC. Mm-hmm. Now it would be person's place in nature.
Whatever, yeah.
But it was man's place in nature.
Yeah.
And it told me that we our closest relatives. I thought Uncle Arvid was my closest relative. But chimpanzees were our closest relative.
Okay.
And as a 13-year-old, I thought, boy, this is really cool. Wait till I tell all my Catholic friends.
Yeah.
And so I did on the way to school. And, you know, they did. They thought, no, this can't be true. So I said, yeah. And I thought, geez, what a cool thing to go out and find fossils like this.
Yeah.
And, I went to graduate school at the University of Chicago, suffered through that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. University of Chicago people here?
Yeah.
Right.
So you were in Ethiopia.
I was in Ethiopia. And
what is the area that you were in?
It's known as the Afar Triangle, where the nomadic Muslim people live, and it was a place called Hadar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out on a Sunday morning, looked over my...
Did you have a reason for being in that spot? Was it...
Oh, yeah. They were looking for me in Chicago.
But had other things been found in that area?
No. Actually, nothing.
Yeah. So what were you doing there?
I got lost.
Seriously?
No, there was a French geologist who had been stumbling around the desert and found a bunch of bones. And he came to me and he said, you know, we have found all of these bones. You should come with me to the Afar.
Really?
So I went with him.
Yeah.
And it was littered with bones. And I thought, there's got to be human fossils here. And I started looking in earnest in 1973. And lo and behold, a year later, came across 40% of a skeleton that's become popularly known as Lucy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I read some quote somewhere. Where was it? I think I got here somewhere, if I can find
Which
it.
One of these is Lawrence Krauss drink out of? I want to be careful.
Yeah, don't use that one. Don't use that one. Here it is. Do you say Johansson or Johansson?
It's Johansson, but we all say Johansson. That's why I always make reservations at restaurants under the name Johansson.
Okay.
They say, oh, hi, Joe. How are you?
All right. This is a dialogue between you and White. Who is White?
White had nothing to do with this.
Okay, but the conversation is interesting, not White. Johansson, you know this is a real mess. Two kinds in South Africa, two kinds in East Africa, now maybe two kinds in Ethiopia. White says, maybe one kind in Ethiopia, maybe two kinds. That makes six different kinds of hominids. Doesn't make any sense at all. What would you want to do, reorganize it? Would you be willing? I would. It might require the naming of a new species. It probably would. That would raise one hell of a stink. Yup.
Boy, it did.
Yeah.
And it was only one species.
Yeah.
And that was a really cool thing. And this was a species, like we're a species, right?
Yeah.
We're all homos, I mean, homo sapiens.
Right.
She was Australopithecus, and she was Australopithecus afarensis, and she lived for about 800,000 years. We've been around for 150 or 200,000 years, and we think that we're going to be here forever.
Yeah. What was it controversial even making her Australopithecus or determining that she was?
No, I think it wasn't controversial at all that she was called Australopithecus. It was controversial that I placed her at a particular place on the human family tree that led to a whole bunch of branches, most of which died out. One evolved into us.
Mm.
And her age was somewhat controversial at the beginning, being 3.2 million years, and we had to determine using, you know, things like Lawrence Krauss does, to determine her age in terms of millions of years, and she turned out to be 3.2 million years.
How does one do that with bones?
Well, you collect, I have to say this very carefully, volcanic ash, okay? And you take that ash into a laboratory, and you put it into a vacuum, and you take radio waves. Am I sounding like Lawrence?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you stimulate this, yeah. And you agitate the atoms, and it melts the ash, and it gives off gases and water and other sorts of things. And you look for atoms of argon gas that people in this audience probably have in their double-pane windows at home, mm-hmm. which is argon gas.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those noble gases. It's an inert. It doesn't combine with anything. Yeah. And you count the number of atoms. Well, you don't actually stand there and count them, yeah. but you use a mass spectrometer.
Yeah.
And then
well, that's the way I would have done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come think of it. And well, it's the most logical thing to do.
Yeah, well, that's what we thought.
Yeah.
And the more atoms there are of argon, the older the rock is. And you can date rocks from the beginning of the planet, 4.5 billion years ago.
Yeah.
As opposed to carbon-14, which is, of course, a depleted metal.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you find any other individuals besides her in that area?
We did. We now have almost 400 specimens of Lucy's species over 800,000 years
no
of time.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's nothing as complete as Lucy, but we now have a complete male and a complete female skull. Lots of hand bones, back bones, arm bones, leg bones.
And are they related?
Yeah. They're,
so
they're
the
all,
same species?
Yeah. They all look like Lucy's bones, so they belong to the same species. And they were very widespread over Africa. We know them from Ethiopia, Tanzania, Kenya, and all the way out in the center of North Africa in a place called Chad. So she was a successful species.
Now, I know there's a difference, I don't know exactly why, but between the hominid in general and a human, when they actually became human, she is a human.
Well, we would place her on the human family tree.
Yeah.
Because if we saw her tonight when we were walking to our cars, okay, wouldn't that be cool? I think I did last Friday night after a little heavy drinking with my graduate students.
Oh, yeah.
But,
well, you got to with graduate students.
She would be walking like we walk, okay, on two legs, like these ostriches behind us, right?
Yeah.
They walk on two legs. They're totally unrelated to us.
Of course.
It's what's called parallelism. But at any rate, you knew that.
But, well, I didn't, but I could.
But she would be short. She'd only be about 3.5 feet tall. You were talking about dwarfs before, you know.
I wasn't.
Well, he was. You know, somebody told me that story about the car crash in Los Angeles. You know that one where the two cars crash in the intersection and the two guys are sitting in the car and they're steaming and finally the door opens and a dwarf walks out. Mm. And he walks over to the next car. And the guy rolled down the window and he says, "I'm not happy." He says, "Oh, which one are you?" So, I'm sorry. But she would be very short. She would have a brain with the capacity of your morning coffee cup, while your brain, I didn't bring my calipers, but actually, you look pretty large-brained, actually.
I am.
And
well, good at
would
me.
Be about 4 or 5 times as large. So she was very ape-like. She had a projecting face. She was probably hairy and very different from us.
Yeah.
But because she walked upright, we knew that from the pelvis. We knew that from the knee. We knew that from the ankle. She belongs in the family of humans rather than the family of apes.
Yeah. So what part of her would you like to have had that you didn't find?
The face.
Oh, of course.
Because her face had come out, her skull had come out early, rolled down a slope, broke up, rainstorms washed away, you know, her cheekbones, her forehead, and nasal area. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago that we actually found a complete female skull.
Yeah.
So we now know pretty much of what she looks like.
So this one, this is like a construction.
That's a total reconstruction of Lucy, mirror imaging right and left sides. Mm-hmm. And that's actually sitting in the Ethiopian National Museum.
Yeah. And is she back there now?
Yes.
Is she in Ethiopia?
I believe very strongly that these fossils should be in the country of discovery. I mean, here in Arizona, we'd be very unhappy if some Hungarian came over and took all of the pottery and wonderful Native American remains back to their country, wouldn't they? They belong here.
Yeah.
So.
And vice versa, if we raided all the Hungarian stuff.
Yeah, right. So I had Lucy in the United States for 5 years alone.
Was that when you were at Cleveland? Or?
I did that when I was at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History and put an interesting multidisciplinary team together. You know, someone studied the teeth, somebody studied the toe bones, somebody studied the finger bones, somebody studied the vertebra. That's how specialized they are. Mm-hmm. and published a long, boring monograph on her that's available to all scientists.
Yeah. And speaking of controversies, as we did, were there controversies along the way as to what you did and what you found, what you actually had found? And
oh, enormous debate. Controversies. Yeah. There was
how annoying was that?
How what? Oh, it was annoying. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, some of those people aren't around anymore. So I don't know how that happened. But we have bigger calibers.
Yeah.
So there was
what was the biggest bone of contention?
The biggest bone of contention.
Yes.
Was whether she could walk fully upright as we walk today. And
is that a deciding factor as to her human...
Whether she should be on the human tree or the ape tree. Because if you had found a fragment of her lower jaw, or mandible, as we call it, with a few teeth in it, you might think that it was an ape. Mm-hmm. That is very similar to things that were like 10, 12, 14 million years old. Mm-hmm. But with the pelvis and the knee and the ankle, mm-hmm. we suggested that functionally she was upright walking when she was on the ground. Mm-hmm. And there was another group at Stony Brook University on the East Coast that suggested that she did a lot of climbing in the trees. In fact, that she probably spent most of her time in the trees and that she walked around with a bent knee and a bent hip, trying to carry home groceries from AJ's, carrying two heavy bags with your bent knees and your bent hips. You won't make it to your car.
No, my mother did it. I don't
know. Okay. So there was this huge controversy. People wouldn't talk to each other. People would go up to meetings, you know, go to meetings. We have all of these meetings all over the world, American Anthropological Association, American Association of Physical Anthropologists, American whatever.
Yeah.
And people would give their paper, and they'd leave the room. You know, or they wouldn't talk to each other. Or they would say, you don't want to go to graduate school with that guy. So, but ultimately what happened was, you know, the Leakey family, which is a fairly famous family over there in East Africa. Mm-hmm. There was Louis Leakey and Mary Leakey, who worked at Olduvai. And Mary Leakey, just after Lucy was found a layer of volcanic, here it is again, volcanic ash that had footprints in it that were 3.7 million years old. And you can imagine, right? Did they wear shoes back then? No. So they left actual anatomical impressions
of their feet
mm-hmm. in this moist volcanic ash. And their footprint left in that sand is just like our footprints that we leave in the sand when we walk along a beach. And that was the smoking gun. Nobody
and that is related, that
the
age?
Same species. How do we know? Species. Not because of the foot bones, but because of the jaws and teeth that were associated with the foot bones that were identical to the ones from where I found Lucy.
That's amazing.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah. So you prevailed.
We did.
And Lucy prevailed.
Lucy prevailed. Lucy is still, the go-to fossil. I mean, when you're sitting around talking about something new, something that's been discovered recently that's on the front page of the New York Times, for example, someone might not remember Australopithecus afarensis, but when someone says, oh, this new fossil's older than Lucy, they go all of a sudden, oh, older than Lucy, wow. So, and by the way, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods on March 3rd for National Geographic. For National Geographic Live, I'm going to be lecturing in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, you are? Oh.
Yeah.
They're filming that as well?
Pardon me?
Are they filming it? Or?
I'm sure they are, but it's just a public evening lecture called Geographic Live.
Oh, how cool, how cool.
So I hope some of our listeners will be there.
Yeah. You must have been a pretty young anthropologist. How old were you when you discovered Lucy?
Well, we all know that she was found 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And now I have to tell you I found her when I was 31.
Yeah.
I'd like to say I found her when I was 5, but I found her... When I was 31, so I had just come out of University of Chicago. I was in, as they say, newly minted PhD. Mm-hmm. I did an incredibly interesting PhD thesis. I was going to bring a copy for you. 400 pages on chimpanzee teeth.
Yeah.
Really, just, wow. It's a page-turner.
So you figured that was going to be your future, was chimpanzee teeth.
Soon to be a film.
Yeah. So, but what does that do? Now, I mean... You probably will not find such a thing again in your career. It happened early in your career. Does that have a kind of a... What is that like as an anthropologist?
Well, it was exhilarating. Yeah. It was, I was young and a little cocky in those days. And
Days, too. It's
Yeah. And I see there's one right there on the front of the stage. It really... sort of catapulted me into the eye of the, whatever it's called, target, in terms of paleoanthropological discoveries. Mm-hmm. And what it did to me, which was totally unanticipated, I hadn't thought about it because I was a university graduate, I was a young assistant professor, was it really brought me into the public's eye. Mm-hmm. And like Lawrence, who was up here before, we share this great thirst for trying to bring our studies, our discoveries, our science to the great public out there in a way that they can understand it and they can share in some of the excitement. I think hiding behind jargon, hiding behind the ivory tower is robbing people of really enlightening them about the knowledge that science brings us.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you still in the field these days? Do you go out there and in the mud and the muck and the wind rain?
It's interesting. I'm not in the field at the moment. I was there a few years ago, but the Institute of Human Origins that I was founding director of here at this great university, Arizona State University. Mm-hmm. We have a team of scientists in Ethiopia. They're probably just getting out of bed or getting ready to get out of bed in the morning and start their search. And I can say, I can't give details, but I can say that I got an email the other day. They're making some interesting discoveries, and there'll be some fascinating announcements later in the spring. But we're still looking. There are more bones to find.
Yeah. And let's say I'm listening to all this, and I think, boy, I would like to take his class.
Yeah.
You know, some kid out there, I was fascinated in this sort of thing. Can people actually come and learn from you? Can they get into your, or do you have to be like a graduate?
Oh, heavens no. I'm done with graduate students. I mean, really.
You just drink with them now. No, that's about it.
They all want to be like me.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
No, I teach an online course called, appropriately, Human Origins here at ASU, which is a very popular course. And I've written a number of popular books at the moment. I'm working on my autobiography, which a number of people are very nervous about. I can imagine who that is. And but they can take the course online.
Oh, cool.
I miss the classroom, I must say. I'm a great convert to online teaching, but I miss the interaction with students. I've had some wonderful students, not just as graduate students, but as undergraduates. And the undergraduates seem to be just so totally open to new ideas and totally open to debating and sitting with you around coffee. And the graduate students, like I was when I was a graduate student, we were so busy and so worried about getting our PhDs that we were always studying.
Yeah.
And I love the interaction with undergraduates because that's where those minds are so fertile and open.
Yeah. So graduate school can actually inhibit it.
It can, yes.
You might achieve.
Fear is a big thing in graduate school. We have a pretty receptive program, though, at the Institute. We work very closely with our graduate students. Happy to say everyone that's graduated with us now has a tenure-track job teaching paleoanthropology.
Well, that's fantastic. And how was the birthday party? Did you see some old friends attending Lucy's 40th?
How was the birthday party? A lot of old friends, yes. She doesn't get out much, so as you can imagine. But it was on the 24th of November, last November, and it was great to sit and reminisce and reflect on what this means, what it's meant to me in my life, and what it means to us in terms of understanding who we are, where we've come from, and how we fit into the natural world.
Yeah. And have there been any usurpers in the interim saying that she is not, in fact, the oldest?
Well, she's not the oldest.
Yeah.
There are other fossils now that have been found that take us back almost to 6 million years. They're fragments, and there's a lot of debate about where they fit on the family tree,
She's the most complete.
But no, there are other ones at 4.4 million that's even more complete than Lucy, but there's a great debate as to whether or not it really is on the human family tree.
Right.
So Lucy is I think, the real spark that ignited this rush to Ethiopia, particularly the Afar region that I spoke about, where numerous expeditions have come and worked. And most appropriately and most satisfying to me is we now have more than a half a dozen Ethiopian scholars who were born and raised in Ethiopia and who have gotten their PhDs and who are now conducting their very own expeditions and making their own exciting discoveries.
Fantastic. Donald, thank you for joining us. Professor, I should say. Great pleasure meeting you.
Thanks very much.
Donald Johansson, ladies and gentlemen. From the Origins at ASU. And there's much that you can read about him and what he's done, and certainly about Lucy. Fascinating stuff.